Welcome to That's a Dive, everyone. I'm Kyle Martino, Tad Potters. We got a really cool mini pod here. We have Captain America, Michael Bradley, training for, preparing for, resting for two of the biggest games of his career. He's got a game coming up on Friday night against Panama, and he gave us some of his time, took a break between meetings to talk to us, not only about these two massive games coming up, but also kind of taking us back to the beginning of his career. And I wasn't lucky enough to play with him with the U.S. team, but I was lucky enough to play against him a couple times as his career started. And it's just remarkable how far he came from that teenage kid playing for the Metro Stars to the kid that traveled all over the world, has represented the United States in two World Cups, and is vying for his third opportunity to do so. So we caught up with him a little bit earlier, and he had a lot to say about what it means to put on that armband and lead the team out into massive World Cup qualifiers. And take a listen. Thanks so much for taking taking some time for us. I know you got two huge games coming up here, and I want to definitely get into those, but we won't keep you long. I kind of want to dive into first where kind of things began with you, because I've been following your career. I'm a big fan of yours, but there's kind of so much I don't know, and I think my listeners don't know. So I want to start where it kind of began for you. When did you know you had something special and that you could probably make a living off of this game?
Good question. I wasn't a guy maybe ever that had things come so easy or naturally in terms of my ability on the field. You know, I was, especially as a young player, I was on a smaller side. I was a late bloomer, and so I had to, you know, I had to work and put so much into finding ways to play and utilize the qualities that I did have to the best of my ability and to make the biggest difference. And so, you know, the thing for me that in my opinion has always set me apart is my mentality, my love for the game, how much I love to play and train and compete, and when those are your starting points, then it's never a burden. You know, it's never hard for me to wake up in the morning and go to training because I love it. And so those have been the starting points for me throughout my entire career. Just how much I love to play, how much how lucky I am to do what I do, and ultimately I've tried to take, you know, every day, every training, every game as a chance to keep growing and improving, and I feel like even as I'm 30 years old, I'm still improving and still getting better, and ultimately I feel like my best days are ahead of me.
People that have just either fallen in love with the game recently or been following your career recently might consider you a late bloomer, but that could be further from the truth in terms of, we're seeing a teenager right now light things up with Christian Pulisic, but you were a teenager in the game. And the reason I know that is because I remember a game at Crew Stadium when I was, you know, a guy that thought he was hot shit, and all of a sudden this teenage kid is playing in midfield against me and shut me down that entire game. And I didn't know the name then. I learned the name well after that, but you were a teenager in the game. And, I mean, that's a pretty incredible thing. A lot of people don't realize what that's like to be a teenager in a man's sport, to be in a locker room full of adults. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's such an important part of growing as a professional. You know, when you come into a team as a young player, it's on you to earn the respect of your teammates, and you do that every day. You do that with how you train, with how you play, with how you act, much you talk, with what you say when you do choose to open your mouth. You know, all of these little things go so far in terms of, again, the respect that you earn with your teammates, and that's that's an important part of growing as a player and as a young professional. You know, from time to time you'll hear some of these older older retired ex-pros talk about what it was like when they were young and how times have changed. And I'm not maybe to that point quite yet, but I do know where these guys are coming from, because you know, certainly with the world we live in today, with some of the with everything that goes on, some of the things that were so important in terms of growing as a young player and as a young pro, those things have changed a little bit, and things are a little bit different. And so, you know, for me, it was about, again, proving day in and day out that I was a guy who could be counted on, even in the toughest moments. You know, I wasn't necessarily a gifted attacking player who could run by guys and create goals and score goals, but in my own way, in my part of the field, I was smart. I could make the guys around me better, even at a young age. So I can remember playing for the Metro Stars early on in my career as a 16 and 17 year old, and I knew even then that one of my jobs playing deep in the midfield was to make sure that Amado Guevara was a better player whenever I was on the field. And what did that mean? It meant that when I got balls, it was on me to make sure that I knew where he was, and I got the ball to him quickly and in areas that were good for him. It meant that when certain balls turned over, if I needed to cover for him or put out a fire in his part of the field, that was something that was going to be very important. And so, you know, these were all the things that I thought about on a daily basis.
You mentioned the word or the phrase "prove yourself," and you know, as a teenager, that's a big responsibility to prove that you deserve to be on the field. And there's that great saying of, if they're good enough, they're old enough. Did you ever feel a need to prove yourself in another way? So your first professional coach was your dad, and then not the person who gave you your first cap, that was Bruce, but the person who was national team coach was your dad. Now, of course, we know now nepotism had absolutely nothing to do with it, and your talent has shined through, and you've become one of the best U.S. soccer players we've ever produced. But was there ever a time where, you know, when insecure or unintelligent people would throw out that insult, did you ever feel a pressure to have to prove yourself because of that?
For sure. I wasn't dumb, and I wasn't naive. I knew what people were going to say the first time the team didn't play well, the first time the team didn't win, the first time I didn't play well. And I understood that, and I knew that it was there, but it didn't faze me. It didn't change who I was or what I was about, and I didn't shy away from it. Obviously, you know, my dad and I always went to such great lengths, whether it was with the Metro Stars or whether it was with the national team, to make sure that every single person on the inside of the team understood that the team came first. And
you were just another player.
I was another player. And ultimately, the only thing that he or I cared about was that the team came first in every situation. And so, you know, I think, again, to your point and to this idea of proving yourself and earning the respect of others, yeah, it meant that maybe in some moments I had a little more to do in that regard. But there was no problem with that. That's how it goes.
Well, you did.
I had to understand how to navigate things in certain moments. You know, I had to know that, you know, if there happened to be a group of guys who weren't playing in a given moment, you know, off together the day before a game when the lineup had just been announced, it was probably better for me to leave those guys alone in that minute, even if they were my friends, even if they were guys who I got along well with, because look, we all know how things go, and there's frustration and there's emotion in those moments, and so, like I said, this is when you're on the inside of a team, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be things that have to be paid attention to. You know, guys have to be smart and intelligent and perceptive to what's going on with their teammates. And so this is, you know, these were important lessons for me to learn as a young player.
Yeah, I mean, some people won't realize that situation actually could have been detrimental more than helpful and an advantage for you. And, you know, it's interesting to hear you say that. My wife obviously worked in an industry with a very famous person, and every time she got a job, she had to deal with people thinking that she got it because of who her mother was. And I saw how much it hurt her because she had it harder because of that.
Sure.
So, yeah, I totally know where you're coming from on that. And then in 06, you go to Heerenveen. So why that? Why then? I mean, that was a big leap, a big challenge for a young kid. You were still a teenager at that point.
Yeah. It was the right time for me to leave the Metro Stars. You know, obviously I had been there for 2 years. My dad had been fired as the coach a few months earlier. Alexi Lalas had come in as the
GM.
And you know, had ideas of how he wanted to run the club. And when he came in, and when he fired my dad with a month or two to go in the season, he and I had a conversation, and he said, listen, let's finish the season, and when the season's done, we'll sit down and we'll make what we need to work. And you know, at the end of the season, I had this opportunity to go to Heerenveen. It had been a club that had been following me for a year or two. You know, the president of Heerenveen at the time had actually seen me when I was playing for the Metro Stars in a preseason tournament in La Manga, Spain.
Wow, how lucky is that?
Almost 2 years earlier, yeah. And in the previous offseason, I had gone over there with Jeff Park, and we trained there for 10 days or just about 2 weeks. And so, you know, I felt like I knew the club, I knew the people, they knew me, they had been following me for a long time. And, you know, the more we looked in, the more we checked into things, you got the sense that this was a unique club, a unique situation. You know, they had this reputation of of taking young players and they weren't afraid to play them. And when their time came, then the model of the club was not to hold them back. They were looking to sell them on to bigger clubs and better situations. And you know, I felt like it had always been my dream to play in Europe, and this was my chance to go over there and to, you know, get myself in a real situation at a real club. Knowing that if I could establish myself there and you know, start to earn my way, that was ultimately going to lead to better opportunities. And so you know, that was something that I really wanted to do.
And your European career, you know, most will look at a lot of the highs, and there were some incredible moments, but it wasn't all easy. I mean, there were fits and starts. There were clubs that you know, you went through stretches where you didn't play, clubs that weren't performing well, and for a young kid, I mean, Landon, I remember speaking with him when he was at Bayer Leverkusen. Some kids can't hack it. Some kids, it's just too much. Why were you able to wait that out and believe in yourself so much to continue to the level that you reached?
You know, it's who I am. I don't have a great answer for you other than, you know, I went to Europe with this idea that it had been my dream to play for some of the biggest clubs, to play in some of the biggest games, to know what that was all about. And, you know, I think I was lucky. I am lucky in terms of the people that I surround myself with. There's not many of them, but they have always helped me to make smart decisions. And, you know, at the time, I think there were probably a lot of people who looked and said, you know, why are you going to Herning? You know, I've never heard of the city. I've never heard of the club. You know, what's that gonna do for you? But it was a chance for me to. It was the perfect step. It was my way into Europe. It was a club that wasn't afraid to play young guys, and sure enough, you know, I was there for 2.5 years, and 2.5 years, I probably, you know, as an 18 and 19 year old, I off the top of my head, I probably made 50 or 60 first team appearances, and a good number of them, most of them were from the start. And so, you know, you look around even now and you see some talented players, and ultimately the decisions that you make in terms of where you go,
it's crucial.
It's so important. It's so important, Kyle. You know, you can get to, you know, you look around and the number of like big talents who get to 22, 23, 24 years old, and you look closer at their career, and they've not played any games.
Yeah.
You know, they've not had any real extended runs of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a game here, it's a few minutes there, it's they go out on loan, and that doesn't really work. And look, there's no blueprint. Everybody has to find their own way, and everybody's going to always have to fight through challenges that are unique to them. But again, I think the idea for me was always to you know, move myself up the ladder in the best possible way, while still finding places where I was gonna play, and I was gonna be an important part of what went on in those clubs. And you know, in maybe on the flip side, I could look back and say, yeah, in a moment or two, I could have been a little bit more patient. You know, after 2.5 years. After 2.5 years at Borussia Mönchengladbach, you know, there had been a new coach, and you know, things had gone in a certain way where after playing regularly from just about the day I got there, you know, he had started to see things differently. And, you know, maybe at a certain point you say, in hindsight, yeah, what happens if you have a little more patience and you can deal with you know, a little period where you're not playing there. But ultimately, you know, that's for who I am as a player and as a person. Now that was never easy. And so if there was another opportunity, another challenge out there where I was going to have the chance to go and prove myself and play, then I was going to take that. So, like I said, there's no blueprint for anybody, but ultimately it comes back down to your to the mentality and to who you are as a player and as a person to make anything work.
Well, I thought about what you said earlier about it not coming easily to you a lot of times, and that's probably in your makeup to make sure that you battle through the tough moments. And I thought of a player name, and there's so many of these players, there's so many examples of it, but a guy that both of us know who's incredibly talented, not playing the game anymore, Eddie Johnson made the decision to go to Fulham, and it almost ended his career. You know, it wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right time. He wasn't playing regularly. And it is that fragile sometimes. I mean, these decisions can either make or break these young, talented guys' careers. So obviously, you made some good decisions. And it's got you now, as a 30-year-old, all over the world. You've learned different languages. You've had kids. I mean, you've done it all. You're preparing to hopefully play in your third World Cup. You're in your third World Cup qualifying cycle. What's it like now, as a veteran, being in that locker room, a locker room you've been in over the years, where you look to the Claudio Reynas, you look to the Brian McBrides, or the Eddie Popes, or the you know, the Tim Howards. Now everyone's looking to you. What's it like to be in that position?
A huge honor, Kyle. You know, to be able to be captain of the national team, to represent our country in the biggest games, in the biggest moments. It's almost surreal, even to this day. You know, I can remember, you know, watching the national team as a little kid. You know, waking up in the middle of the night to watch the World Cup games in 2002 from Japan and South Korea.
Who was your guy? Who did you love watching when you were growing up?
You know, because of my dad and because of the opportunity that I had to be around some of his teams and his players, when any of his players then had the chance to go and play for the national
like
team.
Chris Armas and some of those guys.
I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so when guys like Chris Armas and even Ante Razov, had their runs with the national team, to be able to watch them and know that, you know, these were guys who treated me like a little brother and looked after me and helped me grow as a young professional even before I was officially a professional. You know, to be able to watch these guys play for the national team was incredible. So you know, for me now to have the opportunity to be here and to do what I do, it's not lost on me how special it is.
And I got a chance to play with Chris Armas. He was one of the best guys to ever play with. I mean, that knee injury was devastating because I think he really was one of our better players, and it was a shame to see such a good guy not get a chance to show what he could do on the world stage. Your dad, I saw, has been around camp a little bit. Obviously, he and Bruce go back a long ways, and that's a great mind to have around, who has a lot of experience in the position you guys are in. What's it been like to have him around camp?
On a personal level, Kyle, it's been amazing. You know, obviously, you know, the relationship that he and I have, the experiences that we have been able to share together in the game have been some of the best in my life. And so, you know, even if it's just for a few days in a way like this, to have him back around, it's been great. And so, you know, I think, you know, he, for him, you know, the in a little way to come in to show show the support and the solidarity with Bruce and Dave and Kenny and Pat Noonan and Richie Williams and Matt Reese and the entire staff here to make sure that you know, those guys knew that he, you know, he's with them and ready to help in any way that any little way that he can. You know, that part was important to him. And so, you know, this idea in certain moments that the national team has always been and will always be more important than any one person. And I think in moments like this, when you get ready for games like this, you really understand that.
So your dad's brought in, and the roster looks like a lot of people that Bruce has trusted in the past have been brought back in. We're freaking out a little bit on the outside, as you know, everyone always does when they're not in there and don't know what's going on. Help us understand what the mood's like with the group. And have you, in your three times trying to qualify for a World Cup, ever felt the pressure that you feel now coming into these last two games?
The mood is good. The mood's very good. I think guys came in and right from the beginning of the week have been in a really good way. Have been excited, have been motivated, and have gone after each training and each day and with the right mindset. Look, Kyle, it's in terms of the pressure and the magnitude of this game. It's a huge game. There's no two ways about it. But people also have. People also have short-term memories in moments like this because there's been games every World Cup qualifying cycle mm-hmm. I've been a part of where you get to a certain point and everything's on the line
yeah.
and you need a result. You've got to win. You play a home game and you've got no choice but to get 3 points. And so look. We're not trying to. You won't find anybody here downplaying the importance of the game. That's for sure. We're at the end. The finish line's in sight, and our margin for error is virtually gone. But we've been here before. We've got guys who have played in games like this. We've got guys who have won games like this. Anytime you're getting ready for a big game, it's finding the right balance between making sure that there's the right amount of tension and right amount of focus, but still making sure that when that whistle blows, guys are excited and guys are ready to go for it in a fearless way, because that's the only way you win these games.
So one of the I'm going to ask you one last question, and thanks again for taking the time, and I'm going to let you go prep for this huge game. One of the things I miss the most about playing is that moment right before the game starts where you huddle and you look at each other and the captain or someone else says something. That responsibility falls to you a lot of times. What do you say to this group in that huddle before the Panama game?
Good question. I don't know. It's not
you haven't thought it up yet.
I've not got anything planned or scripted at the moment. Over the next day or two, you'll try to read the group. Take the pulse of every single guy, and then and find the right little way with a few words right before the game to make sure that. In that last moment, we're all ready to go. The best teams in certain moments, you don't always have to say much. You can look around and look in every guy's eye and know that regardless of how things go, we're gonna find a way to win. And so, we've got. We've got big personalities, big characters in this group. Like I said, the week's been good, and at this point we're excited because this is what it's all about.
Well, we're all going to be watching, Michael, and I can say this because I'm not covering the game. I'm going to be on the couch with a jersey on and a beer in my hand. We're all rooting for you, man, so good luck.
Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate that, man.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
All right, so that was great. I mean, that was cool, and you get the feeling that Michael's at the point of his career, and he said it, and I believe it too. At 30, he, especially the way he plays, he's got some good years left. So not necessarily the twilight, but as you get to a certain age and he's looking at his last World Cup probably, you start to reflect. And it was cool to hear what he said about being a young kid who found it hard at the beginning and it didn't come easy for him. And you kind of forget that these athletes who reach these incredible levels, I mean, to get a century of caps for your country is a remarkable accomplishment that only a small group has been able to accomplish for this country. And to play for major European clubs and have the longevity that he's had to play at that high level for such a long time, it has to do with character. I mean, it really does. Michael Bradley kind of said it at the beginning that it wasn't really talent at the beginning. It started with character. And, you know, when he was a teenage kid in Major League Soccer, I say this out of respect. I never thought he was going to end up being the player he's become. But when it started with a love for the game, and it started with a character and a belief and a just relentless drive to reach the next rung on the ladder, the talent eventually came and caught up. And I love watching him play. He's been one of the best players to put on the U.S. jersey. And it was cool to hear him calm and sort of, you know, existential when faced with a massive game against Panama on Friday night. So that's it for this Tad Pod. Everyone, if Michael did for you what he just did for me, which is assuage some concerns and believe that these guys, they've got what it takes and they're going to do it as they've done it before. As he said, many guys have been in these games, have won these games. Well, they've got a big one they have to win Friday night. So, Tad Potters, enjoy the one Friday night. Hopefully, we will all be enjoying after that final whistle a massive 3 points. But until then, everyone, stand with me.